soldiers are killed by a drone attack near the Jordan border.
These Americans were killed by a drone strike from an Iran-backed militia.
Two masked gunmen enter a church in Istanbul and shoot one person dead.
One person who was targeted by the gunmen was killed while attending the service.
And artificial intelligence is helping people who stutter or who've lost their voice to speak again.
An AI-assisted voice technology and calling app that can empower people with severe stutters and voice disorders to speak more clearly.
Today is Monday, January 29th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Scott Walterman. Three U.S. soldiers were killed during a drone attack by an Iran-backed group near the Jordan border. Here's VOA's Rick Pantaleo with more.
U.S. President Joe Biden on Sunday blamed Iran-backed militias for the first U.S. fatalities after months of strike by the groups against American forces across the Middle East amid the Israel-Hamas war. In a statement, he said, "Today, America's heart is heavy. Last night, three U.S. service members were killed and many wounded during an unmanned aerial drone attack on our forces stationed in northeast Jordan near the Syria border. While we are still gathering the facts of this attack, we know it was carried out by radical Iran-based militant groups operating in Syria and Iraq." Rick Pantaleo, VOA News.
Joining us now to talk about this is Barbara Slavin. She's a distinguished fellow at the Stimson Center in Washington and a lecturer in international affairs at George Washington University. So what do we know so far about the attacks? Who's behind it?
We know, I believe, what Central Command has told us, that that these Americans were killed by a drone strike from an Iran-backed militia. We also have a statement from Joe Biden saying pretty much the same. While we are still gathering the facts, we know it was carried out by radical Iran-backed militant groups operating in Syria and Iraq. So I would think it's the popular mobilization units, as these groups are called. There are a whole alphabet soup of them. I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen U.S. deaths before now, because we've had over 100 of these attacks, and we've also had U.S. retaliation against these various groups, against bases in Iraq and Syria. And also, you may recall that on January the 4th, the leader of one of these militias, a group called Harakat al-Nujaba, was killed in Baghdad by a U.S. drone strike on January the 4th. So all of this has sort of, metastasized, frankly, since October 7th. Since the beginning of the war between Israel and Hamas, we've seen all these various other groups that are sympathetic to Hamas, sympathetic to the Palestinians, get into the act. And mostly, I'm sorry to say, they've been going after U.S. targets, which are rather vulnerable and exposed, particularly the small number of Americans in Syria and Iraq. This is the first time, I think, a base in Jordan has been hit, but my understanding is that it was very close to the Syrian border.
Now, this is the kind of thing that everybody's been talking about, the fear of escalation. So when these groups do this, attack U.S. bases in the region, does this significantly increase the risk of escalation? Don't they know this is possible? What is it? I guess what I'm asking is, what is it that they really want?
I think they want to show that they are part of the fight against Israel and against the United States. They want to show that 25,000 Gazans have not been killed without anyone else in the region lifting a finger in solidarity with them. Do they want World War III? No, I don't think so. And that's why what we've seen has been a sort of slow but steady escalation, very calibrated strikes. Up until now, the U.S. has been able to shoot down missiles, drones, even the sort of conflict with the Houthis, which has escalated recently, was sort of kept at a relatively low level. The problem is, once you start something like this, these strikes can always succeed. The missiles, the drones can get through. And that's what obviously happened this time. It wasn't shot down in time. The Americans didn't have enough warning. We don't have the details yet as to how these deaths occurred. But it's a very risky game, a very, very dangerous game of escalation. I've compared it to a kind of billiards game. You have all these groups, sort of sending bank shots out, and sometimes they're not even directed against the real targets, but sort of associated targets or easy targets, vulnerable targets. So Iran, for example, cannot directly retaliate against Israel, but these groups can, and they can hit Americans. Americans are much easier to hit than Israelis, right?
Because they're spread out in smaller groups.
Because they're in smaller groups, and because, of course, the Biden administration doesn't want this to escalate into something huge, and has been working very hard, to try to prevent that from happening. The key thing, frankly, the war has gone on too long. The U.S. should have told the Israelis, that they needed a ceasefire long before this. And my real fear is that this is going to interfere with the talks, which apparently were progressing on a new and rather prolonged ceasefire that would see the release of Israeli hostages, and also, an ability for some desperately needed humanitarian relief to go into Gaza, where 500,000 people are facing famine. So this is the kind of escalation that truly was not needed now.
That's the 2-month ceasefire they've been talking about.
Bill Burns is in Paris supposedly talking to Egyptians and Qataris and Israelis about trying to get this ceasefire with Hamas that would enable hostages to be released and humanitarian relief to go into Gaza.
So what do you think happens now, if you had to guess?
I'm very worried about those ceasefire talks. I'm actually writing an op-ed as we speak. I think we have to try even harder to get a ceasefire. Obviously, the U.S. is going to retaliate, however, in some way, and that can just make things escalate further. Sometimes, when Americans are killed, though, that can maybe that will pull everybody up short, and we won't see this kind of retaliation. The Trump administration, got into a similar kind of escalation with Iran back in 2020, and it got very scary for a bit and then subsided. So I don't know what the Pentagon is going to do, but I hope it's very careful and calibrated. And as I say, I think we need a ceasefire now more than ever in Gaza.
Barbara Slavin with the Stimson Center in Washington. We're following these other stories from around the world. Former Prime Minister Alexander Stubb has won the first round of Finland's presidential election and will face runner-up ex-Foreign Minister Pekka Haavisto in a runoff next month. The vote on Sunday centered on Finland's new role as a NATO frontline country with Russia and the security situation in Europe. North Korea says it has launched a cruise missile from a submarine on Sunday. The state news agency released photographs of leader Kim Jong-un supervising the test. The trial of a Swedish EU diplomat wrapped up in Tehran on Sunday, with Iranian prosecutors seeking the maximum penalty. He's accused of spying for Israel. The maximum penalty for the charge is death. Hundreds of members of the Israeli settler community gathered for a convention in Jerusalem on Sunday, calling for Israel to rebuild settlements in Gaza and the northern part of the occupied West Bank. Israeli Public Security Minister Ben Gavir addressed the group. He's saying, quote, "Today everyone already understands that fleeing brings war, and that if you don't want another October 7th, you have to return home to control the territory." Israeli demonstrators, including a number of relatives of hostages held in Gaza, staged a protest on the Israeli side of the Kerem Shalom crossing on Sunday. In a bid, they attempted to block the passage of aid trucks into the Gaza Strip. Among them, Shoshana Chaya.
I'm here because I don't believe that anybody in Gaza should be getting our humanitarian aid. This is a war going on here, and my brothers are fighting out there, and this is just prolonging the war.
The United Nations Relief and Works Agency fired several staffers accused of having been involved in the October 7th Hamas terrorist attack against Israel. Israel hailed the decision of several countries, including the United States, to suspend financing to the agency. Concerns are being raised over how this will impact the Palestinians in Gaza, scrambling to find food due to the ongoing war. VOA's Veronica Balderas Iglesias has this part of the story.
Palestinians have been scrambling to get sacks of flour as the United Nations warned some areas face famine. One of the displaced Palestinians spoke to Reuters about his plight without sharing his name.
This amount is for 7 people. See how little? This costs 50 shekels.
That's about $13. The UN Relief and Works Agency, UNRWA, in charge of helping about two-thirds of Gaza's 2.3 million population, is now facing its own crisis. 12 of its staff members have been accused of involvement in the October 7 Hamas terror attack in Israel, during which 1,200 people were killed and some 240 were taken hostage. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres confirmed Sunday in a statement that many of the accused have been fired and an investigation is ongoing. He also called on at least 9 countries, including the United States, to reconsider their decisions to stop funding the agency. Permanent representatives to the Arab League held an emergency meeting in Cairo to discuss the matter. Ambassador Mohamed Akluk is the Palestinian permanent representative to the Arab League.
Countries are responsible for the continuation of UNRWA funding and not to follow double standards. They should not show hurried reactions.
Israel's ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan, warned Sunday that countries who continue funding UNRWA before a comprehensive investigation is completed, quote, should know their money might be used for terrorism. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, meanwhile, has tried to appease domestic demonstrations by those demanding he do more to secure the hostages' return and calling for the Israeli leadership to resign.
It only strengthens the demands of Hamas. It only increases their demands and distances the goal we all want, the return of all the hostages.
As Israel continued targeting Hamas militants in Gaza, representatives of Qatar, Israel, the United States, and Egypt were said to be meeting Sunday to negotiate a potential new ceasefire and the release of more hostages. The news came as the Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry announced the civilian death toll in Gaza has surpassed 26,000. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News.
VOA's International Edition continues. I'm Scott Walterman. Ukrainian officials say they uncovered massive military fraud in a scheme that saw tens of millions of dollars exchanged for weapons that never materialized. The discovery follows the downing of that Russian plane said to be carrying Ukrainian POWs. Here's VOA's Arash Arabasadi.
Soldiers holding defensive positions near the Ukrainian city of Bakhmut fire artillery rounds after last year's counteroffensive failed to pierce heavily fortified Russian positions in the south and east of Ukraine. They say the one thing they always need is more ammunition. It is against this backdrop that the Security Service of Ukraine, or SBU, announced it charged five people with embezzling some $40 million meant to buy 100,000 mortar shells. The money changed hands. The weapons never came. Rooting out corruption was and remains a key pillar in Ukraine's bid to join NATO and the EU, with officials from both groups demanding Kyiv address internal fraud. Meanwhile, the Kremlin continues striking Ukrainian targets like residential buildings and civilian infrastructure. But it was in St. Petersburg just days ago that a court convicted Daria Tripova for a terror attack on Russian soil in April 2023. Tripova was charged with delivering an explosive device to a pro-war Russian blogger as he gave a talk at a local cafe. She called it all a setup, saying she thought she was delivering a listening device and not a bomb that could have also killed her. She was sentenced to 27 years. All this comes as wartime officials disputed each other's accounts of the downing of a Russian military plane said to be carrying 74 people, including 65 captured Ukrainian soldiers, en route to a supposed prisoner swap for Russian POWs. Moscow has provided little evidence to back its claims that Ukraine shot down the jet or that captured soldiers were on board. Ukraine says Russia is so far blocking an international investigation, while Kyiv neither confirms nor denies involvement in the crash. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
The Organization of American States says moves by the government of Venezuela eliminates any possibility of a free election this year. The OAS says the decision announced Friday against Maria Corina Machado, as well as the recent prosecution and political imprisonment of opponents, was evidence the government of President Nicolas Maduro had no intention of allowing a clean election. That's the opposition saying the entire international community wants this deal to be implemented. Venezuela did make a deal with the United States to allow the opposition to run in exchange for economic sanction relief. Two masked gunmen shot one person dead during Sunday service at a church in Istanbul. Here's Reuters correspondent Fiona Jones.
The attack, which Ankara condemned, took place around 8:40 GMT at the Italian Santa Maria Catholic Church in the Saria district. And that one person, who was targeted by the gunmen, was killed while attending the service. Speaking to reporters outside the church, Istanbul's governor said the victim was a Turkish national, and that no one else was hurt. He said the attackers only fired at one person. It was not immediately clear what the motive for the attack was or why the victim was targeted. Pope Francis conveyed his condolences over the attack after his weekly Angelus prayer.
Reuters correspondent Fiona Jones. Turkish authorities say they have captured two gunmen. They say the two are believed to have ties to Islamic State. The two teams that will play in the U.S. National Football Championship game, the Super Bowl, have been selected. The Kansas City Chiefs will face the San Francisco 49ers. The Chiefs beat the Baltimore Ravens, and then in the second playoff game of the day Sunday, the 49ers beat back a hungry Detroit team that has never been to the Super Bowl. Came down to the fourth quarter. The Lions had been ahead until the very end, just could not pull it out. The Chiefs and the 49ers will play the Super Bowl February 11th in Las Vegas. And finally, I don't know if you ever saw the movie The King's Speech, but it elegantly shows how hard it is for people who have speech troubles, like stuttering, to function. Now, AI-assisted technology can help people with voice disorders to speak in their natural voice, giving millions of people a chance to have clearer conversations. The VOA's Julie Tabo has more.
And I'm whispering.
Joris Kastamans has a slight stutter.
I'm a light stutterer.
But like many people who stutter, when he whispers,
and you hear my whisper,
his speech is fluent and flawless.
Because when you are whispering, you don't use your vocal cords.
Which explains why people with severe stutters can reduce their stuttering frequency by as much as 85% while whispering. That amazing fact inspired Kastamans to develop Wisp, an AI-assisted voice technology and calling app that can empower people with severe stutters and voice disorders to speak more clearly. One of those people is George Koster, who has vocal cord paralysis.
Since then, I speak like this.
But thanks to Wisp technology, Koster was able to hear his old, healthy voice again.
Hello, my name is George Koster. I never had heard my own voice.
Users can choose to personalize their Wisp voice with in-app recordings or use recordings from their past healthy voice. Ruud van Noorden has undergone a total laryngectomy, which is a surgery to remove his voice box. But Wisp's advanced AI technology breathes life into his voice, allowing him to speak in his old natural voice in real time. Users like van Noorden can also make in-app phone and video calls.
The ideal situation is to have a seamless a conversation with a flow, right? So without a delay. When you make a phone call, there will be a latency from mouth to ear of about 350 milliseconds. So that's with the AI processing the speech signals in the cloud. That's, we think, an amazing performance.
Wisp technology works for a wide variety of voice types and is also language independent. Designed to help the 1% of the world's population that stutters, according to the National Stuttering Association, and about 300 million people worldwide who suffer from voice disorders.
Our big, bold dream would be to have Wisp in each smartphone and laptop worldwide.
Kostermans says it's technology designed to transform not just speech, but people's quality of life.
It's remarkable.
Julie Tabo, VOA News.
This has been International Edition on the Voice of America. On behalf of everyone here at VOA, thank you so much for joining us. For pictures, stories, videos, and more, follow VOA News on your favorite social media platform and online at voanews.com. In Washington, I'm Scott Walterman.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
When representatives of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and several Venezuelan opposition parties called the Unitary Platform signed what is known as the Barbados Agreement in October, both sides pledged to work toward free and fair elections in the second half of 2024. The United States praised the agreement and shortly after announced it would temporarily lift a swath of sanctions on Venezuela's oil and gas industry. More progress was made in U.S. and Venezuela relations in December when a prisoner swap occurred between the two countries in a deal that also included a pledge by the Maduro regime to release almost 24 Venezuelan political prisoners. Now, however, the United States is deeply concerned by the issuance of arrest orders and detentions against at least 33 Venezuelans, including members of the Democratic opposition, civil society, former members of the military, and journalists, said State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller in a written statement. Venezuela Attorney General Tarek William Saab announced the individuals are charged with conspiring against the Maduro government, though he cited no evidence. In a chilling statement, he told reporters those in custody have confessed and revealed information about the plans. In its latest human rights report published in March 2023, the U.S. State Department noted that while Venezuela is legally a multi-party constitutional republic, the regime of Nicolas Maduro claims control over all public institutions. Among significant human rights abuses, the State Department included serious problems with the independence of the judiciary, the inability of citizens to change their government peacefully through free and fair elections, and unreasonable restrictions on political participation. Concerning the latest arrest orders and detentions, spokesperson Miller noted, arrests without due process run contrary to the spirit of the October 2023 Electoral Roadmap Agreement signed between the United Platform and representatives of Nicolas Maduro. We call for an end of politically motivated harassment, including attacks upon opposition campaign offices and all efforts to stifle the democratic aspirations of the Venezuelan people through fear and intimidation. Spokesperson Miller declared, actions that run counter to the spirit and letter of the Barbados Agreement will have consequences. We urge Maduro and his representatives to adhere to the Electoral Roadmap Agreement, including by announcing a clear timeline for the 2024 presidential elections and to reinstate all political candidates. The United States, said spokesperson Miller, continues to support the Venezuelan people in their desire for a peaceful restoration of democracy.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.